1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Hendry Show.
It is the Phil Hendry Show, and our web address is www.philhendryshow.com, and our email address, phs@philhendryshow.com. Go on over there, and you look at our souvenir shop. There's a number of items there. So thank you. Good God, Hendry. And they pay you, how much are they paying you for this? You know, you spend all show talking in five different voices by the end of just 2 hours alone. By the way, you know this Wikipedia, you've seen that? It is the most worthless website on earth. And I say that with the greatest respect to people. It's a website that you can get information from, that everybody contributes to. The problem with it is anybody can write anything there. I don't know. I don't understand the purpose of it, but I went there to access some information. And I read the disclaimer, and anybody can add or subtract information as they want. So in other words, it's like a joke site. The internet has done more to confuse the issue than it has to clarify the issue. Look, there's enough bull crap going around as it is. I don't need to. Here's a site devoted to bull crap. That is not. I think the guys that founded that website, the Wikipedia website, which purports to have information about everything, I think they really believe that the intentions of human beings are basically above board, and that people would find it exciting to contribute to a website where they could add their information and source it and everything else. Unfortunately, that ain't it. I mean, they got all kinds of screwballs that go on there, vandalize the site, add all kinds of dopey stuff. So we're going to have to withdraw our endorsement of that until they get their act together. It ain't worth it, man. I don't need to go there and find out, you know, what's the highest mountain? You know, I'm writing down things like Coit Tower in San Francisco, man. They told me it was 8 million feet high. How did I know? Well, you're pretty stupid, aren't you? Don't you double check your sources? Well, yeah, but I mean, I'd rather not to have to triple and fourple check them, man. I just like to go to, like, Encyclopedia Britannica. I figure I'm pretty solid there. Look at that. Skins just scored, baby. They're going ahead of the Dallas Cowboys. The Cowboys suck. Oh, God, do they. Look at these Cowboy fans. Look at Brunel. New life with the Skins. Come on, Skins. Man, it was 13-0, and get this stat. Bill Parcells, 77-0, when in the fourth quarter at any point, he's leading 13-0. Well, I guess all good things must come to an end. And there's Joe Gibbs. He doesn't look a day different than he did back in 83 when he was winning Super Bowls. Redskins about to go ahead of the Dallas Cowboys with 235, but Parcells will come back. In any event, Wikipedia blows. I mean, anything that's called Wikipedia has got to blow. What does that mean anyway, Wikipedia? I'm getting real. My patience is getting short for some of these things. Like my kids, you know, they go, you should go on this one website. It's really cool. It tells you all about, you know, like IHateHomework.com. Yeah, it's all baloney. All right, so anyway, go to our website, and there's nothing but baloney there, but we don't make any pretense as to, you know, the veracity of the material there. All we do know is our, you know, souvenir shop's got some cool stuff. Plus, our best of the 2005 year, which will be called Are You For Real, available soon over most of these stations. You can buy it in our souvenir shop. We've got lots of new product there. We got the bowling shirts, the Ted's of Beverly Hills Miami shirt. You know, Ted's of Beverly Hills has opened a variety of stores, variety of restaurants. And the latest one is in Miami Beach. Pick it up. It's got a cool-looking kind of, I don't know, sort of...
Baby blue.
Also, the Phil Hendry Show mouse pad, the Western Estates ball cap. We've got the Ted's of Beverly Hills t-shirts. We have the Citizens Auxiliary Police shirts. We got the belt watch. We got the travel mug. We got the whole damn thing, man. Pick it up now on our website in our souvenir shop at www.philhendryshow.com. And while there, pick up our best of CDs. And what a fun time it was doing our webcast on Friday night. As usual, lots of people checking in from all over the planet. If you are listening to us from someplace other than America, send us a picture, man. It'd be, you know, kind of cool to see where you're listening to the show at. And we occasionally will put those things up on a website. But I've got a lot of folks checking in from all over the place who watch the webcast on Friday night. We do the webcast as regularly as we possibly can without burning out on the stuff. And then I got the word last night, emailing some of the folks in the cast of Fillmore Middle, that we start shooting this thing on October the 25th. And apparently Matt Tarsus has pumped out some amazing scripts. And so who knows, man? You know, I don't know. Thing might be on for more than six episodes. Maybe I don't even know if it's going to be on for six episodes. I know we're supposed to shoot six. So that'll be kind of a cool thing. I do suggest you watch it, or as we say on our website, you'll pull back a bloody stump. The show is basically about, I don't know if I told you, it's about a middle school in New Jersey. And the teachers at this middle school are all kind of, you know, trying to, in their varying ways, to succeed or not, as the case may be. And the star, the Justin Barthes character, is a guy that's trying to be a good teacher, but he's very, very discouraged. He's very pessimistic, very cynical. He thinks the school's a toilet and nothing really cool is going to happen as long as, you know, the kids stay there. He's just sort of discouraged. And the his, you know, sort of, I guess, love interest, or soon to be love interest, Sarah Alexander, plays the positive, optimistic new teacher. Grew up in Jersey, but she sounds British. I don't know why. And, well, I don't know. There's something about how she was born in England but raised in New Jersey, but she still has a thick Cockney accent. How's that work? Anyway, so she's really positive. And my character is the Bartha character at the age of 53. In other words, he just, you know, gets more cynical and cynical until he winds up like me. I'm this curmudgeonly, bugged, constantly sarcastic. In other words, I love the character. Dude. And we've got Kelly Rocha, who plays this prim, proper sort of dean's assistant. We got Matt Winston, who's this sycophantic, obsequious teacher. We got Dionne Richmond, who's one of the best friends. Good cast. And the show is, I think it's going to be cool because it's about, you know, it's about stuff that probably matters, like education, rundown schools, and teachers that drink on the job. Now, so we'll start shooting that thing on the 25th, and I sent out an email to everybody today that we'd like to have a barbecue at our house with all those guys, and so far, I think I've heard from two or three of them. Winston apparently has been taken hostage by East Timor rebels, so he won't be able to make it. 1-800-449-8686, world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
This, then, is a story. A story of driving to work. Driving to work behind an individual there in the number one lane who's doing 55 or 60, it occurred to me that that person doesn't understand. They don't understand that they're breaking the law. I know that. It's okay, too. I've ceased being upset about it. I listen to music like this to calm me down on my drive-in. I drive in and I sit behind Charlie, who is doing 55 or 60 in the fast lane, with that sort of upright, smug look on his face, because, you see, he feels that he's doing absolutely nothing wrong. Even though the state law of California says that if you're in the fast lane and there are five or more cars behind you, you must yield to faster traffic, even if you're already doing in excess of the speed limit. Ah, yes. Even if you're already doing in excess of the speed limit, this is a concept that's difficult to grasp for many. Someday, maybe many years from now, that person will be driving along with that self-satisfied, smug look on their kisser, doing 60, 65, even 70 there in the fast lane, and there'll be five or more cars piled up behind them, rush hour, trying to get through, and they can't. And suddenly, behind them will appear a California highway patrolman who will pull them over. He'll get out of his car, adjusting his belt and his crotch, making sure that the riot gun is secured. And he'll walk over very quietly, and they'll roll the window down, and they'll say, "Yes, officer?" And he'll look at them, and he'll say, "I'm citing you for impeding traffic in the fast lane." You see, in the state of California, even if you're doing in excess of the speed limit, if there are five or more cars behind you, you're violating the law. And if he's a particularly enlightened police officer, he'll say, "And we find through research, you're encouraging road rage. Yes, that's right, road rage. Because if you continue with that behavior, somebody may get crazy. Someone may want to follow you home and peel your face off with a pruning knife. But you see, folks, that'll never happen. That fantasy will never come true for me because in the history of law enforcement in the state of California, that ticket's never been handed out. Never. Never has anyone ever been cited in the history of motor vehicles in this state for impeding traffic in the fast lane. You know, it's just a theory, but I think it's a theory that bears repeating, perhaps investigating, perhaps looking into. And that is that if we were able to take every, well, how should I put this, every numbnut that drives impeding traffic in the fast lane, if we could take them out of those fast lanes and move them over into slower lanes, I have a theory that traffic jams as we know them would slowly dissipate. In other words, I have a theory that gridlock and the, you know, attendant slow traffic would suddenly, well, it would probably disappear. Traffic would be moving in a uniform manner. Faster traffic to the far left, slower traffic to the far right. When I think of it, I want to cry. That's right, I want to weep. Because I know that's never going to happen. But I can dream, I can fantasize. And by God, there's one thing I know how to do in this world, and that's work up real good fantasy. I'm John Wayne for Great Western Spank Bank. This portion of the Driving to Work program brought to you by Firestone and Aunt Millie's Cookies. Get them while she's hot. I'm Foster Kaiser speaking for public television, where hundreds work so 20 can watch. My wife. Oh, God. Boy, that felt good, man. Other day I cut in front of a guy and I saw that little finger of his just pop right up in his window. I didn't cut in front of him. I was trying to get around this cat so I could get in front of this one guy so I could get into that fast lane thing so I could do my thing, right? So I could get away from, around and away from this jackball that was sitting there, right? Now, he did one of these numbers. As I was going faster on his right to try to get around him, he speeded up to try to cut me off. So I gunned that freaking jag and I got right in front of him and I saw that brown little finger of his, yes, it was brown, pop right up in the windshield. And I don't know why I did this, but I jammed my brakes on. Probably caused a multi-car pileup somewhere back 2 miles behind me. I'm telling you, man, it's a theory, but it's one that's worth investigating. All right, so a number here is 1-800-449-8686, the Phil Hendry Show.
Those guys have guns.
Who?
Guys with the brown fingers.
He was Hispanic, man. What do you think, I'm talking a black guy?
Doesn't matter. They've got guns. They'll pull them out of their glove box. And next thing you know, you'll be dead.
Well, maybe that's what I'm looking for, bud. Maybe I've had it with you and this whole planet, huh?
What, you got a death wish?
Maybe. And maybe I want to take a few people out with me, bud.
Jesus, you're crazy. Look at his eyes. They're all red. Like his, only smaller.
Get out of here, will you? God, I hate driving in this freaking state. Hate it. Oh, I hate it. Too many cars, man. It's a theory that I got that is now being bought. Too many freaking cars. You can't build enough roads. You can't build enough freeways. There'll never be enough streets. There's too many cars. If you take a look at the automobile, the space that it takes up in relation to one guy. So that's one guy's space. Why does one guy get all that space? There ain't enough roads for that one guy's space. First of all, it certainly encourages the building of smaller cars. You know, right when we ought to be building like midget-sized cars. I saw a guy the other day. Have you seen these little tiny dinky midgety cars? They're little. Have you seen them? I'm seeing them more and more. They're like little itsy bitsy toy cars, man. In other words, they only come up to about your neck. Well, I don't know if they're limey made or what they are. And I said to the guy, where are you going on that? He goes, I'm going all the way up to Seattle. I go, good for you, man. You know, he was gassing it up. Little dinky car. I said, that's the size all the cars ought to be, right? It's a Mini Cooper, right? We're building these excursions. I mean, it's obscene. So it doesn't matter how many freeways, the car is extinct, as far as I'm concerned. And I love driving, believe me, but it's a luxury we can no longer afford, I'm telling you. How the hell are you ever, if you've been in this city long enough, how are you ever going to build enough freeways? You ain't going to do it. Widen Santa Monica Boulevard? Who are you guys kidding? You couldn't widen it enough. They're just now getting that, they're widening out the Ventura Freeway. You know, it's, so the answer is simply that, you know, there's going to have to be, like, less cars. And in the meantime, since we, oh, and by the way, that's a nice orange line you guys put in out there from the valley. It's a bus. I mean, they got a whole big pamphlet on the orange line. Take it. It's neat. It's a freaking bus, man. I mean, nothing wrong with buses. Now, what they're saying is that it's an express line bus. In other words, it's one of these buses with an accordion middle. And I don't know whether they're telling me that they know that they timed the lights, but apparently they're trying to say they never stopped for lights, which is kind of bitching. But it's what it is, it's the city of Los Angeles trying to figure out how the hell they can get into the 21st century when they got such a late start. They got no... Did the skins score again? They got absolutely no light rail around here, so they got to put in these super, you know, these accordion buses. So anyway, there's like too many cars, and there's not enough roads, and give it up, man. Just give it the freak up. And my wife. And you know what? You're right. I should have got the hybrid. It didn't make any difference, though. Like right now, does anybody get the whole picture? You see, cars, oil, war in Iraq, is it making sense to anybody? You got to get it all. And don't tell me, man, everybody, if you drive a car, you're just as responsible as the next guy. I love these people who tell me, well, I drive a Toyota. So what? You drive a Toyota. Does it take gasoline? Yeah, okay. Not enough room. I'm doing these little films for my website, which I film on the little tiny digital camera. It's called Phil Drives to Work. Part one is up on the website right now, and it's just me going down a nice wide boulevard. Wait till you see part two. I'm on the freeway. This guy said to me one time, he says, that doesn't look very crowded. Well, yeah, if you're looking at just the one car in front of me, but there's about 9 million ahead of him, too. Oh. Our web address is www.philhenryshow.com. Tomorrow night, Vernon Dozier will be talking with us about his handlebar mustache. Well, I don't, you know, it's, your guess is as good as mine. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
You know, I remember after 9/11, people were moving to Ireland and, like, Sweden and Finland, and I remember saying, like, a lot of people, hey, you gutless wonders, why don't you stay in your country and fight? You know what? I'm with them. I'm leaving, man. If there's a nice little, if I can get just a job as a starter on an Irish golf course someplace, or just like tending bar.
Yes, sir, what's your pleasure?
You know, just
freshen your drink.
I am getting out of here. This country has lost its mind, man. It's dumber than it's ever been. Honest to God, I just saw that. You'd think I'm kidding? Listen to this. New Orleans suspends reopening of city. Now, here's this mayor that was screaming and yelling about how the feds weren't doing anything, right? Guess who had to tell him you better not open the city because it ain't safe yet? Bush. Now, at some point, somebody's going to have to take charge, man. Someone's going to have to wise up. And I ain't talking about Bush being responsible for, like, natural disasters. Yeah, well, he should have known, and he should have. God, people, where do you think you live? Do you honestly think this is Disneyland? Do you honestly think it's Disneyland? I want a straight answer to that question. Do you think this is Disneyland? You know Disneyland, don't you? That's where it looks scary, but nothing really bad happens? You think you're living in Disneyland? You think America's got it down to the point now where it's Disneyland? Is that it? We're living in Disneyland. I got news for you, man. Even at Disneyland, they got gang fights. In other words, at Disneyland, it looks like you're going to fall off the cliff, but at the last second, you don't, right? Is that the way it's supposed to be here? I want to get clued in on how I'm supposed to think, because, man, this ain't the planet I was born on. Somebody's sitting there talking about a freaking natural disaster of unprecedented proportions. And you got a mayor, as far as I can tell, and I don't mean to be cruel, but I'm just going to say it. As far as I can tell, this mayor in New Orleans, he couldn't find his ass with both hands, man. I mean, with both hands free. You could say to him, mayor, yeah, both your hands free, yeah, find your ass. He'd be looking on his head, his knee. He couldn't find it. I don't think this guy's got it together at all, man. And that governor, did you hear? Last week I said this. Wait a minute. If I'm stupid, tell me. She said, after the mayor said that he wanted to evacuate, she said, well, I don't know whether I want to make that call. This is after the storm hit. And what are they talking about Bush for? I don't know. But if you say this, everybody thinks you're sucking Bush's kneecaps. I mean, these people have got like 4 cents worth of brains left. It's just, it's sad. There's not an ounce of brains left out there, I'm telling you. When you take something like that and you want to lay it all off on one guy, there's something really wrong, man. Now, dig this. The mayor halts the return of people to New Orleans. He says he wants to err on the side of conservatism to make sure we have everyone out. And he had to be told that by Bush and the Federals. Why? Because they've already got their asses burned 1,000,000 degrees by everybody screaming at them because they didn't do this and they didn't do that right. I mean, I've never seen a guy escape blame better than this guy Nagin down there in New Orleans. I've never seen a guy make it out with his rear end intact than this guy. He just ran for cover, man. Then he gets on TV, screams and yells like some kid, squealing like a freaking pig under a gate. And next thing you know, everybody's like laying it off on Uncle Sam, right? And then that Blanco, I had to laugh, man. It's a week after the city's been flooded. The guy goes, well, I think we ought to evacuate. And she says, I'm not ready to make that call. That would be my call, and no, this is what she said. That's the governor's call, and that would be me. Oh, it's thank you. She figured out she's the governor, man. And all these simple-minded people, they just gonna, yeah, sure, why not, man? Dump it all on Uncle Freaking Sam, man. Just go ahead. Then, when say something like this happens, let's say, oh, I don't know. You know, the Federals want to appropriate some land. And people start screaming about how it's our local community's land and the Federals shouldn't have to take that land, right? So they can't figure out what, you know, exactly what side of the street they want to work. Do they want Uncle Sam running the show or do they not? Is it just like when everything falls apart at the local level? You see, you're supposed to, that last I checked, the governor and the mayor are supposed to call for help from the you know what's wrong with talk radio? Talk radio has become so polluted, so utterly polluted with conservative and liberal viewpoints that you can't express an opinion like the one I'm expressing right now without automatically being categorized as either a conservative or liberal, because there's nobody thinking for themselves anymore. And because this medium that I work in is so utterly polluted with those points of view, right? So if I say I think Bush is getting a raw deal, that automatically makes me a conservative. I don't know why. Why? Because I want to be fair? You want to be fair. You must be a conservative. Under pressure from President Bush and other federal officials. Now, here's the latest news. Have you heard this one? Because this will make you laugh until you just want to weep. This will make you laugh until you pee yourself. They're going to evacuate the Florida Keys. Why? There's a tropical storm on the way. Now, you know what a tropical storm is, don't you? That's 40-mile-an-hour winds. Now, I walk to the store in a tropical storm. They're residents boarded up windows Monday and evacuated the low-lying Florida Keys as Tropical Storm Rita gathered strength in the Bahamas, threatening to grow into a hurricane with a potential 8-foot storm surge. Now, when they say potential, what they're saying is that's the potential. They ain't saying that that's what it's going to be. In New Orleans, the mayor suspended his plan to start bringing residents back to the city after forecasters warned Rita could charge to the Gulf of Mexico and possibly reach the city. Oil prices surged, the possibility. And another possibility, my uncle could have wheels and pedals, he'd be a bicycle. And the possibility that my mother might grow a penis. We'll be right back. All this paranoia and fear, and nobody wants to take any responsibility. Everybody wants to blame everybody else. You know, never has this country ever been in worse shape when it comes to just being able to take advantage, you know, take control of an emergency. I mean, it's like a major finger-pointing thing. The main concern now is the Florida Keys, said Max Mayfield, director of the National Hurricane Center in Miami. How'd they used to do it? If you had a tropical storm, what'd you do? You boarded up the windows? Sometimes with a tropical storm, you don't even board up the windows. And you wrote it out. What happened in New Orleans wasn't the hurricane, man. It was the freaking levee busted. Don't you get it? Oh, God. Forget it. The storm has some potential to it. The time to go is now, said State Emergency Director Craig Fugit, who didn't want to be caught with his thing in a ringer and having people screaming and yelling at him and beating him up and calling for his resignation or lynching. Governor Jeb Bush, not wanting to be lynched out on an open highway, reported that traffic out of the Keys was moving well. The governor said, please evacuate the Keys. I don't want to be strung up at noon. In the Bahamas, some public school officials didn't give a crap because it's the Bahamas and they're used to being flooded out. In the Bahamas, officials said, just go about your business as normal. Make sure you've got a life preserver or a boat nearby. For you people living on top of a mountain, make sure you got a boat. 6 to 15 inches of rain was possible in the Keys, with 3 to 5 inches possible across southern Florida. A storm surge rising 6 to 9 feet above normal tide level was predicted for the Keys. Long-range forecast, panic buying, stupid statements by public officials, all kinds of ignorant, jackass website comments, and 20-mile-an-hour winds that couldn't knock over a freaking glass of water with a fart. This is something everyone should be paying attention to, said Daniel Brown, a Hurricane Center meteorologist. Daniel Brown, by the way, is noted for predicting that the hurricane 6 years ago by the name of Ed would have been a Category 5. Turned out it was nothing more than a wet fart. Nice going, Dan. Dan is our meteorologist of the month. The man in charge of removing water from New Orleans and repairing levees warned that Rita... Is that guy still got a job? The man in charge of removing water from New Orleans and repairing levees warned that Rita could affect efforts to drain water out of the city. We're watching Tropical Storm Rita's projected path, and depending on its strength and how much rain falls, everything could change. Now, see, that's a statement that anybody with maybe a kindergarten education could have already figured out. But they got to have Dwayne Gabinski, commander of the Army Corps of Engineers Task Force. And by the way, it's called Task Force Unwatering. I ain't kidding you. That poor guy had to make that statement. Depending upon whether or not you fall off of the top of a building or just jump off of a chair will determine how serious your injuries will be. Thank you very much, sir. We wanted to get that down. Okay, great. If you are to jump off of a building head first, as opposed to, say, leaping from a chair feet first, will determine, well, what do you think is more likely to injure you? I would have to say at this time, leaping from a 50-floor building head first may injure you, but I don't want to make any statements. I don't want to come right out and say it, man. Well, what are you talking about? I'll tell you right now, because I don't want to get burned, man, like the last guy, okay? I don't want to see, you think I want to fry like that last FEMA guy, Brown? Not me. I'm going to qualify everything. But it appears at this time, leaping from a 50-story building head first could injure you worse than jumping from a chair feet first. That's the way it appears. Can you, Vera, are you willing to say that on the record? Kiss my you-know-what. You know what they should have? Seriously, every state, I'm telling you right now, and I'm willing to fund it, I want taxes pulled out of my check for this. Department of Dumbass. That is the last rung. That's the last rung. In other words, the Department of Dumbass covers everything. It covers everything. You know. All right, how are we doing on evacuation down there, Bill? We still got people down to the coast. All right.
Dun, dun, dun. Department of Dumbass.
And then they send some cats out in like ambulances and trucks. And it says DOD, Department of Dumbass. And these are the guys that go in and do the real mop up. You know, getting some guy out of a crawdad hole while there's a 100-mile-an-hour wind blowing up his rear end. All right, we'll be right back. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
You know, it's funny. I've mentioned to you guys that I worked in New Orleans back in the 70s. And when I was there, I learned very quickly, that it was essentially, how do I put this? You don't say it's a corrupt city, but one hand washes the other down there in Nolens. And it was very well known. And down through the years after I left New Orleans, I would see articles about Louisiana politics. I'm sure many of you would, from time to time, come across an article about Louisiana politics and probably just read it in a very cursory manner and moved on to something else. So it didn't register with us that's a whole other way of life down there. And you simply don't have any, it's like I said to some friends of mine, man, you don't understand, man, how things are done down there. It is not a state. It's not an area set up to respond to this kind of stuff. These people, there's a reason why there's so much freaking poverty down there. It's because, you know, the rich get richer and the poor get plastic drapes, like my brother used to say. And it's just kind of the way it is, son, you know. And, you know, politics down here is a way of life. Well, okay, whatever that means. Well, what a basic, it's like Mexico. It's the entrenched telling the poor, we're looking out for you, and the poor guy is still buying it because that cat Huey Long was such a great guy. They're still waiting for another guy like that to come along. Huey Long was like this huge sort of quasi-socialist, you know, really believed in the working man, really believed in, there wasn't a racial, you know, no racial bias in this guy, you know. And the dude, didn't he wind up getting shot or something? But Louisiana is a mess, man. It's just a freaking mess. And when something happens down there like this, here's the deal. Do you want the Federals to take it all over? Do you want the Federals to take over emergencies? Yes or no?
Well, I don't know. I just would like them to do a better job.
What are you talking about, man? Because if they've got to respond to the locals first, which is what they got to do, and I got it on tape, man. I got the quotes. I got it all. Nobody needs to tell me. Nagin didn't have a handle on this. He had a better handle on he had a better finger up his nose than he did a handle on this freaking hurricane, man. Because I can tell you right now, when that hurricane hit on the 29th, that dude on the 27th was telling the newspaper, I haven't decided whether we want to evacuate or not because I don't know what it's going to mean to the hotel interests. That cat said that. Now, that's all there is to it, man. And then, after the hurricane hits and floods everything out, and he finally says, we got to evacuate the city. The freaking governor ain't even made up her mind. Now, I ain't saying that Bush and the feds are not without blame, but can we get a handle on our, you know, what we're talking about first? Because I haven't heard one person who has said that the feds didn't respond fast enough and this is really kind of a federal problem. Know what it is they're talking about. Not a one of them knows what they're talking about. I mean, it's easy to say, but to actually say it and know what you're talking about, it's a whole other thing. All right, do I have to break?
Oh, you ready? I don't want to talk about this.
Yeah, but, you know, I look at you. You're a natural freaking walking disaster. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Talking about the price of oil, 67 a gallon or 67 a barrel. So I'm not going to drive my car anymore to work. I'm going to get a bike, and I ain't getting a Harley. I am going to get a full-on rice rocket. I'm going to paint like freaking rising sun flags on the side of it. And I'm going to get a jacket with a big rising sun emblem on the back and just do the whole rice rocket thing to work. You know, just squealing along the interstate. Forget that Harley jazz. Man, every bean counter at Warner Brothers has got a Harley. Yeah, okay. And your old lady too, huh? There she is sitting up in her little freaking road cruiser with her little, you know, brain bucket on.
This is fun, Ed.
No. For me, rice rocket. That's the solution to the oil problem.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.